In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. Herman will sing Psalter 238. Let us read again our sermon text this afternoon. The Gospel according to John chapter 1. We will look at four verses at this time. Chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. He was in the Word, and the Word was made by Him, and the Word knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The world is a big and dark place. Even though it seems to offer a new variety of opportunities and excitements within its vast space and time, all the joys of it would not last long. Every single man and woman is born as a needy sinner. And still many leave the world with more sins through their sinful lives. People try hard with all their might and human endeavors to sever from that vicious cycle of evil generation. But it dawns in their heart that they could never stop what they are trying to stop in their own hearts and in the hearts of their own children. Why can't we disentangle ourselves from the vicious cycle of misery and sins? This kind of work had to be done by God Himself. Based on John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13, our theme this afternoon is the Word of God for our new life. With the Lord's help, we would like to consider 3 points. First, our need. Second, God's promise. And third, its significance. The gospel, according to John, began with the introduction about who is this Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We realize how important this Word of God was even before the creation. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, Genesis 1:3. And by this very word, God created heaven and earth and everything in between, those visible and invisible. John rightly concludes from Genesis that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ came into this world as the living Word of God. He was also the true light. There are various luminaries and shining things in this world, but above all those lights, Jesus was the true light. And he was shining in this dark world. At some point, as you would know from the Old Testament, Jesus was not in the Word with a human body and human soul. But when it is the last time God sent his only begotten Son in human flesh and in human soul to be shining among the people. Jesus was the very fulfillment of God's promises throughout all the Hebrew scriptures, and especially Genesis 3:15. And today, the scripture plainly shows how this living, personal Word of God was treated by the people. First, verse 10 does not fail to show how the Word of God was treated badly by the people in general. Verse 10 repeats 3 times the word world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. What does the word mean here? Children, the world. As you imagine, it's vast place, huge, and many countries, oceans, continents, and all the different types of lands and environments, animals, all kinds of trees and plants. And we are easily attracted to that kind of definition when we see the name, the word world. But here, if you look at carefully, it's not so much about spatial, physical, and neutral sense in the definition of the word, but rather it's a spiritual and moral world in that it failed to recognize the word of God. They were so much busy with the things of this world, the visible things, they failed to know their Creator. And second verse, verse 11 of our text, shows how the Jewish people specifically rejected Jesus Christ. There is some development between verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 is dealing with the general response of the people in the world. But verse 11 specifically points out how the Jewish people rejected Jesus Christ. And let me read again that verse. Verse 11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." It was not just failure of recognition, but they willfully rejected this Savior who was promised through the Old Testament and who finally came in human flesh and human soul and Jewish people. The very chosen people of God rejected him. Children, you all have experiences with companion pets at home. As I go to Manhattan every Wednesday for the New York Gospel Ministries, I see a lot of New Yorkers walk around with their companion animals like dogs and cats. And especially the dogs are very friendly animals, and when the owners come back from their work or trip, and then the dogs would come out and greet the owners very excitedly, even though they don't have human souls. They are merely creatures. They don't say the same languages as we do, but the animals know how to welcome their masters home. And Jesus Christ came home, and his own people rejected him. The prophet Isaiah rightly describes this very fallen response in this way. Isaiah 1:3, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people doth not consider." The word "receive" at verse 11 does not mean to take something impersonal. The word receive at verse 11 is rather to take somebody, a person, as your special person into your heart or into your home. You welcome somebody in authority, knowing, recognizing, and enjoying this person. When you enter into this church building, you don't want to be greeted by the church building or the furnitures in this building. You want to be greeted personally. And this word receive here is receiving Jesus Christ personally into your hearts. And that was greatly missing in the people of God when Jesus came unto them. This shows that the world is not right. The world was created by God, the very word of God, and the world rejected him. The biggest problem seems to be that the world can never solve on its own the sin problem. The power of sin is endlessly perpetuating through the generations. A father is susceptible to its power, so are his children. Its darkening grip upon the human eyes is such that they could not look beyond the problem. The real issue is that they would not come and welcome the Savior who came into the world to save them from their sins. In the midst of your competing things in your life, this year 2020 has begun. And during the past 2 months, have you considered this Jesus Christ, the Word of God? We all have our specific needs in our job, family, and our life in general. But did we welcome in this new year the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, into our hearts? Not everybody rejected Jesus. Not everybody refused Jesus based on their own agenda. This leads to our second point, God's promise. Verse 12 begins with the little yet very powerful word, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It is clear from the portion of the Bible that many did not believe in Jesus Christ, the Word of God. People did not care much about this Word of God from heaven and from the Eternal Father. It was almost nothing to their eyes. But the Word of God here is very promising. God calls out his chosen people out of darkness, and God gives them a new life. The life that they are born with is a limited and physical life. So Psalm 90 confirms that, saying, The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. That's human life. Once man is born, he is under sorrows and hard labors until his life comes to an end. But that is not the end of the description about life in the Bible. Verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." What a glorious gospel message this is. Otherwise, our lives are just consumed with all the works, and at the end of the life, nothing much is left other than the sorrows and sins. Contrary to those many rebellious and unappreciating and willfully choosing to remain in darkness, there are those who receive him, the eternal word of God, Jesus Christ. To believe Jesus' name does not mean only that you know this person's name, Jesus. You also acknowledge who he is and what he has done in the volume of the entire scriptures. He came as the prophet, priest, and king. Somebody described believing Jesus in these terms. Listen, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, I risk my whole eternity. On him who lived for me and died for me and rose again for me and has gone into heaven for me, on him I throw the whole weight of past, present, and future, and every interest that belongs to my soul for time and for eternity. Do you desire to receive and believe Jesus Christ? Do you really want to know him and his power to give you the right to become the children of God? The word of God, Jesus Christ, can give you that authority, that right to become the children of God. God did not leave us in the sinful darkness, but he has given us his Son, the Word of God. You may have the Bible, but if you do not read it, it will not profit you anyway. It would become just a piece of wood. So the word of God needs to be received by faith. God's name has been given so that we may believe. My dear friends, as you already have begun this another new year, 2020, I pray not only that God may grant you the desire to hear God's word, but also that he may grant you this new birth as the children of God. There are many promises written in the Bible, but this is one of them that we could expect God to fulfill first and foremost in this new year. In our own hearts, in the hearts of our own children. The Word of God has the power to save sinners from their sins, as Jesus alone is the living Word of God. The Word of God, He is the very one who gives us this new birth and makes our new life possible. Finally, what does it mean to be the children of God? What is the significance of this new life? There are three negative expressions and one positive expression at verse 13. Let me start with the negative statements of that reality. First, this new birth is not about our efforts, not about our human endeavors, or even our abilities. John 1:13 emphasizes the inability of man regarding this birth in three unmistakable negative expressions: not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Today, has any of you in this room here on 23rd of February 2020 intended to be born on your birthday? None of you contributed toward your physical birth. It was not planned, or it was not caused by you. Then the spiritual birth is much more. Your physical birth is from the earth, but your spiritual birth and new life is from heaven alone. It does not have to do with your DNA in your genealogy. Second, this new birth, therefore, is not the same as the physical birth. The language at verse 13 partially implies the man's power or human desire regarding the natural and physical procreation. The will of man and will of the flesh seems to count a lot in the generation of human beings. I'm not saying that the reality of this world is not relevant. I would like to say that the reality of our new life is much greater and much more significant for us, as no one can live forever in this world with our human body in this circumstance. If there is any hope for us, it is with our soul being born again. Our body will and should be changed one day according to our new birth. Thirdly, therefore, this spiritual birth does not have to do with your family background, culture, or race. Just because you were born into the Jewish family, you would not welcome Jesus Christ. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Their eyes were so much blinded, and they allowed their Savior, Messiah, to be crucified on the cross. So in the same way, just because you were born into the Christian family, you'd not be born again. You would have, though, a lot more opportunities to hear the Word of God preached to you, the Word of God taught to you. But that doesn't guarantee automatically, because you're born to Christian families. There is still relentless, uncompromised need of the Holy Spirit so that the Word of God may work in your soul. Until then, you are not part of God's family in its truest sense. What is the positive statement of this new birth? First, God saves. Salvation is not dependent upon our physical limitations. No matter what crimes and sins you may have committed in the past, Jesus Christ is mighty to save you from your past sins. This birth is of God, and that means it is divine. And many people still come to the pastors and they ask the pastors whether they are true believers or not. And Apostle John is repeatedly using the language being born of God in this gospel, also in his epistles, 1 John. Being born of God would include many different developments in one's life. And one of the most distinguishing marks is that they love God and they love the people God placed in their lives. That love is one of the marks of true believers born again. Some people try to stick to their new decisions after the New Year's Day. And some pessimistic people wouldn't even think of making another one that they would not be able to keep it throughout the year. But still, I think many people are trying to make New Year's resolutions. Some would need more time with their families. Some would reduce alcohol drinking. And some others still need to do more exercise. But we realize how limited and changeable our willpower is every day and every circumstance. It constantly changes. Thankfully, the result of being born again is not based on our own human power. No matter how much you may admire your willpower and your physical power, but our salvation is not dependent on us. Its origin is divine. God has planned to save you from eternity, and He will fulfill it in time for us. Second, the child of God fears God. Their new identity does not only lie with their new status, but it also lies with the fact that they do and they think and they say after God. As the children of God, they begin to learn who God is in its truest sense. They may have learned it already through the books, from teachings from other people, but as they are entering into this new territory of their life, the new life, they begin to love God and fear God, and they keep exercising their right as children of God. And They are not anymore slaves as they look at the law of God. They are liberated by the power of God from that slavish fear, and they can now have access to this Almighty God. And last week I was able to spend time with one of our church members who went and accompanied me to New York Gospel Ministries, and this is the second time, and he set me aside telling me, don't call me Mr. So-and-so, please call me John, simply. And that was not the first time for me, but it was not easy for me to do that, but that is an experience for me to see that this person is allowing me to have access to him without much hindrances. He really wants that freedom from my end in terms of communications. And so, children of God, in a much more higher sense and much deeper level, beginning to learn to call upon the name of the Lord when they need him every day. That access is given for the children of God, and they exercise it day in, day out, around the mealtime, as you wake up, as you go to bed, as you face enormous burden in your life, you begin to call upon the name of the Lord as the child of God. How promising is the future of God's children. We, as God's children, have a place to go in this life and in the life to come. We are not orphans anymore. We are not anymore under the claim of the devil and the spirits of this world leading us back and forth. In this lifetime, we are guided by the fatherly hands and by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ prays for his children throughout the pilgrimage. This morning, we meditated upon the hope of the righteous in affliction. And this is what we do in the midst of dark providence. We hold on to the word of God. God could not lie. And we hold on to this word of God until we are past those storms and tempests we have to face in this world. We are Christ's brothers and sisters in the family of God. Christ gave his life for sinners like us. My dear friends, are you also the child of God? Have you found already your family of God in this world? You may have your own family by blood, but that is not what the Bible is referring to here when it is the new birth and new life. This family is the family of God through the spiritual rebirth by the power of God. One day, we have to say goodbye to this world. It will be very sad if You do not know where you are heading after this. Come and be saved and be born again by this eternal living Word of God, Jesus Christ. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, what a great privilege it is to call upon Thy name on such day as this. On this Sabbath day, we are so much grateful for this great change from death to life, from being the children of the devil and Satan of the world to becoming the children of God in its truest sense. We ask for the same thing according to Thy promise. Many people overlooked this true light shining in darkness. Even those who are called Thine own people rejected Him. But wilt Thou find those who are welcoming Jesus Christ in this place, in our homes, and in our communities? Oh Lord, that would be the case. We plead with Thee, and please remember our covenant children, those who are baptized and introduced to this covenant community. We plead with Thee that Thou would be faithful according to Thy promise to fulfill even this one in near future. We give Thee all our praises, honor, and help us, O Lord, to live for Thy glory in this coming week as we begin another new week. Please be with those who are traveling. Protect them and guide them. Be near to them. Be there on their left-hand side and right-hand side. Keep them from sins. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.